ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 18। द चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। ऊर्ध्वं गच्छन्ति सत्वस्था मध्ये तिष्ठन्ति राजसा जगन्य गुणवृत्तिस्था अधो गच्छन्ति तामसा। ऊर्ध्वगच्छन्ति सत्वस्था मध्ये तिष्ठन्ति राजसा जगन्यागुणवृत्तिस्ता अधो गच्छन्ति तामसा। ट्रांसलेशन। दोज सिचुएटेड इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस ग्रेजुअली गो अपवर्ड टू द हायर प्लैनेट्स। दोज इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन लीव ऑन द अर्थली प्लैनेट्स। एंड दोज इन द अबॉमिनेबल मोड्स ऑफ इग्नोरेंस गो डाउन टू द हेलिश वर्ल्ड्स। पर्पट। इन दिस वर्स the results of action in the three modes of nature are more explicitly set forth. There is an upper planetary system consisting of the heavenly planets where everyone is highly elevated. According to the degree of development of the mode of goodness, the living entity can be transferred to various planets in this system. The highest planet is Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, where the prime person of this universe, Lord Brahma, resides. We have seen already that we can hardly calculate the wondrous condition of life in Brahmaloka. But the highest condition of life, the mode of goodness, can bring us to this. The mode of passion is mixed. It is in the middle between the mode of goodness and ignorance. A person is not always pure, but even if he should be purely in a mode of passion, he will simply remain on this earth as a king or a rich man. But because there are mixtures, one can also go down. People on this earth in the mode of passion or ignorance cannot forcibly approach the higher planets by machine. In the mode of passion, there is also a chance of becoming mad in the next life. The lowest quality, the mode of ignorance, is described here as abominable. The result of developing ignorance is very, very risky. It is the lowest quality in material nature. Beneath the human level, there are 8 million species of life, the birds, the beasts, reptiles, trees, etc. And according to the development of the mode of ignorance, people are brought down to these abominable conditions. The word tamasa is very significant here. Tamasa indicates those who stay continuously in the mode of ignorance without rising to the higher modes. Their future is very dark. There is an opportunity for man in the mode of ignorance and passion to be elevated to the mode of goodness. And that system is called Krishna consciousness. But one who does not take advantage of this opportunity will certainly continue in the lower modes. Translation once again. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the passion leaves on the earthly planets. And those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Hare Krishna. So, today we are reading from chapter 14th, text 18th. This chapter is entitled, The Three Modes of Material Nature. So, Bhagavad Bhagavad Gita is a very, very fantastic text. It can be compared to a medical textbook. Just as there are textbooks of medicines like Davidson or say Harrison's The Principles of Internal Medicine, which speaks about the fundamental principles of medicine. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's textbook on the fundamental principles of universal body. Just as medical textbook are meant to cure the disease which are there in the body, and medical textbooks are mainly meant for understanding the human system, human bodily system. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is that text which speaks about how this entire universal body, because this universe can also be compared to a body. So Bhagavad Gita mainly helps us to understand how this entire cosmic manifestation functions. So Bhagavad Gita is exactly like that medical textbook. And Krishna, Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna, is a perfect physician who has a full command or grip on the understanding of how this entire universe exists or functions. Just as a physician has a complete command or grip on how this entire bodily system functions. And Bhagavad Gita mainly speaks about five subject matters: Ishwarah, Jeev, Kal, Karma and Prakriti. And because Bhagavad Gita speaks about Prakriti, so Krishna here speaks about the material nature and the three modes associated with this material nature. And Krishna also speaks that how a living entity, when comes to this material world, gets bound by these three modes of material nature. So these three modes of material nature plays a major role in keeping a living entity bound to this material world. As we said that Bhagavad Gita is like a medical textbook and Krishna is a supreme physician. And just as an expert physician, when he explains to a patient about certain disease, a physician will very expertly explain or first define that disease, at the same time explain the cause of that disease, symptoms in connection to that disease, and also furtherly the physician also explains what are the chances of survival, or in medical term it's termed as prognosis. What is the fate of a person who is suffering from that disease? And finally, a physician very expertly explains about the treatment which can be given in relation to that disease. Similarly, Krishna in this 14th chapter is very, very expertly giving us the cause. Just like an expert physician, he is giving us the cause for our being in this material world. He also explains from verse 6 to 9 about the definition of the three modes. What exactly these three modes are: Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And from the verse 11 to 13, Lord Krishna explains about the symptoms of a person who is in these modes: mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. In verse 16 to 17 of Bhagavad Gita, of this chapter, Krishna explains the fruit of action performed in these three modes. And the verse 14, 15 and 18, that is today's verse, speaks about the fate or the destination of a person in the mode of passion, goodness or ignorance. So Krishna is here explaining about a destination one achieves. As far as a person in different modes are concerned. So here Krishna is saying that a person who is in mode of goodness, he gradually elevates himself and goes and achieves higher planetary systems. Those in the mode of passion, they remain on these earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance, they go down and achieve hellish planets. So from this verse we can clearly understand, or this verse clearly proves how much important role three modes play in our life. In fact, many times ask this question that why is Krishna speaking so much about these three modes again and again, practically right from beginning of Bhagavad Gita to the end of the 18th chapter. Say in the second chapter or third chapter, Krishna is saying Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna, or he's saying Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sharvashah. Or in the 17th chapter, Krishna begins this chapter by saying Sattvam Rajastama Siddhi Prakriti Guna Prakriti Sambhava. And in the 18th chapter again, Krishna is explaining work in three modes, or happiness in three modes. Why is Krishna explaining so much in detail something in relation to this, three modes? And the second question a quite relevant question a person may ask is what I have to do with these three modes? Is there any relevance in my life with regards to these three modes? So this verse clearly explains the answers to these questions, where these three modes are very much relevance in everybody's lives. It says that, Bhagavad Gita says that these three modes, we are affected by these three modes at every moment. Jeevan ke har ek mod pe. As they say, mod pe. Similarly, these three modes are very much affecting us at every levels. To such a degree that our destination or the final result of our life is designed and decided by these three modes. To that extent, three modes play a powerful role in our lives. Say for example, if a person is preparing for his final exams which will just give him freedom from all the studies in the future, or final exams that will decide his future career. The future career of that person depends upon that exam. Then will that person take that exam very lightly? Will that person take that exam for granted? No. Because he knows that this exam plays a very vital role in my future career, in my future destination. So he gives that exam very thoroughly. Not only that, but he prepares himself so much thoroughly that he does not allow even a single loophole. He will not mind studying day in, day out, and taking care of all those factors which will have a direct impact on the results of his exams. A person will thoroughly prepare himself. Not only that, we see during exams, children, when they have to give their final exams, they very much take care of their belongings, which will be very, very, very useful for their exam, especially their pencil box. They will see to it that all the pens are there, pens have ink in that refills, or the pencils are nicely sharpened, they have rubbers, or they have scale, or they have sharpener. Everything perfectly well organized. So that when a student goes to sit in the exam, everything is there. Not only that, student goes to practically all the temples praying to the Lord, which he has never visited and he doesn't even want to visit. But just to make sure that my final exams are coming and final results highly depend on all these factors. So a person who is very much conscious about giving his exam will take care of all the factors that has a direct impact on the results of that exam. Similarly, the three modes, they play a major role in deciding our future, deciding our final destination. But most of us, we hardly care for it. Most of us, we hardly know that actually three modes play a major role in preparing our career, our future destination. And for those who knows, very few actually care for it. Very few try to understand these three modes, what they actually are. So Krishna is trying to say here in this world that these three modes do have a direct connection in our lives. Just as an example can be given of a flight, an aeroplane flight. A 1 degree shift in the flight that takes off from the Philadelphia airport and has to go to Tel Aviv, one city in Israel. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. So this example explains that 1 degree shift in the flight, in the direction of this airplane, which starts from Philadelphia, destined to Tel Aviv in Israel, will land up somewhere in Moscow in Russia. Just a 1 degree shift. If an airplane, if the pilot is not very careful, the flight will reach somewhere else. The destination will be somewhere else. Completely different from where it started and where it had to go. As they say, Jana tha Japan, pahunch gaye Cheen. Somewhere like, something like that. So these three modes. So if 1 degree shift can create such a change in the destination, these modes of material nature, they are very subtle. And they play a major role in deciding where we will go in future. That's why Krishna says those who are in the mode of, those who always remain in the mode of goodness, they actually go up. But if by mistake we land up in the mode of passion or ignorance, the destination is completely different. And only those who wish to fail in exam, as we gave this example, or who are not concerned where this flight will lead them to, only they will be very careless. But those who really care for the destination, they must, as Krishna says, study in detail about these three modes. Why? Because they have a deep connection to our life as well. But very few of us, we actually tend to understand these three modes, what they are. But Krishna is giving so much in detail, chapter 2, chapter 3, up till chapter 18. And in this chapter especially, entire chapter of Bhagavad Gita, out of 18 chapter, one full chapter, Krishna devotes
and trying to understand, trying to make Arjuna understand what these three modes of material nature are. And if we see from this verse, Krishna says, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhya tishtanti rajasa. This verse clearly refutes the hedonistic viewpoints of certain atheistic philosophy. No, like Charvak. No, we know there were some few philosophers who were quite atheistic. And who said that, who commented that there is no such thing like reincarnation. But this verse clearly proves, every verse of Bhagavad Gita clearly proves, or clearly establishes the principles of reincarnation. So when Krishna here says, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha, that means there is a future. But here this philosopher, he says that, yavat jivet sukham jivet, or rinam kritva gritam pibet. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kutaha punaragmana. So this philosopher has to say that yavat jivet sukham jive. You have this life given to you, just use it to the best capacity, best ability you can. Just enjoy to the fullest extent. Beg, borrow or steal, but eat all the items that are prepared in ghee. Whether you have it or not, just somehow or other get it from somewhere. Why? Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya. Because after this body is dead, it's going to turn into ashes. Kutaha punaragmana. Where is the question of rebirth or reincarnation? So there are such philosophy existing in this world today. But every verse of Bhagavad Gita actually refutes and establishes the principles of reincarnation. In fact, in this verse, Prabhupada explains that those who are in the mode of goodness goes to the higher planetary systems. Now, there are many people who actually question that, does really heaven exist? Or does really hell exist? And if they exist, what do they have to do with my life? In fact, the scripture explains, here Prabhupada explains that according to the degree of development of the mode of goodness, a living entity can be transferred to the various planets in this system. The highest planet is Satyaloka, where Lord Brahma resides. So there are actually 14 planetary systems. This is the middle planetary system, which is called as Bhulok. And above Bhulok, there are 7 planetary systems. And up below Bhulok, there are 7 planetary systems. So above Bhulok is Bhurlok, Bhuvarlok, Swargalok, Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, and Brahmalok. Scripture clearly explains. And below, so these are like the heavenly planets, heavenly abodes, where there are maximum comfort levels, maximum facilities available for a conditioned soul to enjoy. And below this Bhulok are 7 planetary systems called as Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, and Mahatal, Rasatal, and Patal. These are the 7 lower planetary systems. So these upper, people ask, do these planetary systems really exist? Prabhupada here says that they do exist, and a person who lives his body in the mode of goodness actually achieves that destination. So we can actually make them understand by this example that just as in one city, say Bombay, we will find a place called as Dharavi, where people have very less comforts, less facilities. There are more conflicts over small problems, and People have to struggle really hard to sustain their lifestyle. At the same time, in that same city, there exists some place where people live in some one bedroom hall kitchen, one BHK or two BHK or three BHK, where they have some good facilities to stay. At the same time, in that same one city, there exists a place we say posh area. Malabar Hill or Nepenthe Road or Walkeshwar or whatever. There exists a place where the enjoying facilities are too much. Comfort levels are very high. Very less chance of struggle for existence. So if in one city there exist these three different categories. So this posh area can be compared to the heavenly planets. And those who are staying in one BHK or two BHK, that place can be compared to Bhulok or the middle planetary system. And those who are staying practically in slums or not in a proper situation, that place could be compared to lower planetary systems. So if in one city there exists these three categories, and if a person says that actually this category only exists in one city and it doesn't exist somewhere outside of my city, now will anybody believe this? No. Wherever you go, practically in every city, what to speak of city, in every village if you go, you will find these three categories. People, some people in rich condition, some people in the middle, some people really downtrodden condition. So if these categories apply practically everywhere in this whole world, wherever we go, then this system actually applies at the universal level also, where there exists a place where there are higher level of comforts, and there exists a place where there is real a struggle. People actually suffer badly. So yes, there do exist a place called heaven or hell. It's not an imaginary concept. It does exist. And we see that people of this world, they do want to promote themselves to higher and higher places. Or from lower area to the higher area. Isn't it? A person, say for example, who is staying in Dharavi, he wants to go to, he wants to settle himself or go up to Antop Hill. Have you heard this word, Antop Hill? He wants to go to Antop Hill and settle. But a person who is staying in Antop Hill, he wants to go and stay in Pali Hill, that is somewhere in Bandra. Why? Conditions are much better there. And a person who is staying in Pali Hill, he wants to shift himself to Malabar Hill. Is it not? We all want to promote ourselves from a better to best situation. And a person who is staying in Pali Hill, or he wants to go to Malabar Hill, and a Malabar Hill person, he wants to promote himself to Cherry Hill. That's a place somewhere in New Jersey. And a person who is in New Jersey, living in Cherry Hill, wants to still promote himself and wants to go and stay in Beverly Hills. That is in somewhere in Los Angeles. So we see that the desire is there to promote or to go higher and higher. But just because a person may have a desire, that's not enough. A person who is staying in Dharavi, just because he has a desire, he just cannot go and stay in Beverly Hills or Pali Hills or any hills. In fact, because of his bad karma, he may land up in Ant Hill in the next life. It's a fact. So just because I have a desire, that doesn't make me qualified. I have to qualify myself to reach to that destination. So when Prabhupada here says that, okay, only a person who is in the mode of goodness can be elevated. And here he clearly mentions that people on this earth in the mode of passion and ignorance cannot forcibly approach to the higher planetary systems by using machines. So many, we have heard so many expeditions. Scientists want to go to other planets, especially Moon and Mars and what not. But Prabhupada is clearly saying, if you are not qualified, you may have a desire to go that. You may have a desire to go to that place, but because you are not qualified, you just can't go there using your own machines. Say for example, if we want to go from one country to another, can we just go so easily? No, we need passport, we need visa, we need so many immigration checks. We need ticket first of all. So we have to qualify ourselves to go to a certain level, certain place. Not only that, we see if a one dog enters into the territory of another dog, starts barking. The territory is limited. He just can't tolerate somebody else entering into his own territory. Even a dog needs to qualify himself. We hear this term, trespassers will be prosecuted. So we are like those trespassers. Unless until we really have a pass to enter into the higher planetary system, we just can't go there. So when Prabhupada was in America, there was this huge propaganda that was going around that man landed on moon. It was a very, very controversial issue. Prabhupada was in fact the only one who boldly, fearlessly said that these people never ever landed on moon. And for Americans to hear this was something jolting. They could not take it. But Prabhupada here says that because you are not qualified, you just cannot go there. You have to qualify yourself to reach to that place. There's a simple joke, I heard from one devotee, one person, young man, he got infected with HIV, unfortunately. But he wanted to get married. Nobody was getting married to him, was trying hard to find some girl. But unfortunately, he was not getting a single one. So he decided, okay, let me give an ad in the newspaper. That's a last option. I will try. What he did is that he gave an ad in the newspaper. And the day he gave that ad in the newspaper, next day, he started receiving phone calls, started getting applications from so many girls. Oh yes, we are interested. You mentioned this contact number, so we are contacting you. So this person was shocked. He said, I was trying my best, to even get one application in my favor, and here is so many applications are coming within few minutes. So he was surprised. So he happened to ask one lady, how is it? So quickly she agreed. So the application read, a person with HIV. But those who read that application read as person with H1V. H1V means H1 visa. So people, they thought that I as one. And they thought, oh, here is a person who has an H-1 visa. No, what can be my better prospect than this? I'm getting a chance to go to US if my husband has an H-1 visa. So he was getting so many applications. So we see that people, just by seeing H and V, they just thought, oh yes, H-1 visa, I want to go there. So we see that people are really eager to elevate themselves. But Krishna says here, you just can't go to that place unless and until you are living your life associating with mode of goodness. You have to live your life accordingly. And then, finally, I'll just conclude with this one beautiful line which Prabhupada writes here. Prabhupada says that there is an opportunity for man in the mode of ignorance and passion to be elevated to the mode of goodness. There is a way. There is an opportunity. And that system is called Krishna consciousness. This is something very striking. Most of us, we have our lifestyle based on mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And Prabhupada is giving here a chance for all of us to elevate ourselves. Just as we have a desire to go and stay in higher places where there are higher comfort zones. So Prabhupada is actually giving us an opportunity, giving us an helping hand to elevate us so that we can actually come out of the miserable conditions of life and live a better life than ever before. In fact, there is a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says that prasangam ajaram pasham kavayaha atmano vidus sa eva sadhushu krito moksha dwaram apavritam. It says that every learned person knows very well that attachment for material assets of this world is the greatest entanglement for the spirit soul. But if that same attachment is dovetailed to a self-realized devotee, opens the door of liberation. So Prabhupada is giving us a chance not only to come to the mode of goodness, but actually to transcend all these three modes. Mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And come to the real platform of pure goodness or Shuddha Sattva. And in fact, Prabhupada is not only saying this, he practically demonstrated this. This is not simply a theoretical knowledge. It's a practical thing which Prabhupada showed it. Attachment to a great soul, service to great personalities, can actually help us transcend the modes of passion and ignorance. In fact, we all know the life sketch of Prabhupada, where Prabhupada, when he went to America, he was staying in the 72nd Street in New York. But what happened is that his many things got stolen, and he decided to move from 72nd Street to Bowery. But simply shifting to the Bowery was not actually the answer. Why? Because Bowery, according to nation, America, is a place of unspeakable corruption. That's like practically Dharavi of Bombay. And what exactly happened in Bowery? Bowery is a place where people who are completely ruined and homeless, alcoholics, stayed there. Not only that, No, it's like all the derelicts, all the intoxicant people. No, they would be seen on the street with the bottles, or lying unconscious in the gutters, or they would be seen staggering, up to passerby, and just bumping to them and asking for some money. That was what Bowery was like, and Prabhupada decided to go there. In fact, it's explained that practically 7,000 to 8,000 of people were practically homeless and were staying in that area of Bowery. And in the night time, they would stay in some lodging system, some lodging hotel, and they had to vacate this entire lodge in the daytime. So this people, they would vacate this place and they would be seen all throughout the day because they had nothing to do, nowhere to go. So they would just keep on loitering in that area. Somebody would be just leaning to a street, or just moving along in a group, not knowing where they are going. And in fact, those who didn't have any lodging system in the night, they would sit, they would sleep on the streets, or say, street corners, or on the benches, which were there on the sidewalks, or on the doorsteps. And finally, they would crawl down to, some small, a basket or a discarded boxes. That was the place where, that was the degree of affecting the people by the lower modes. And it's also explained that that was the place where rate of hospitalization and death was 5 times more than the entire national average. And whoever lived there in that area of Bowery would be found with certain marks of injuries or violence. Such type of people who are practically completely in the modes of passion and ignorance were staying there. Now, who after going to America would like to go and reside in such horrible dungeon place? Most of the people who wants to go to America, although in India they are staying in chawls or one bedroom hall kitchen or maybe two bedroom hall kitchen, they have a desire, okay, when I go to America, I would like to stay in some very posh area or something like that. But here is Prabhupada, where was he staying? He was staying in a place which is in pure goodness. He was staying in Vrindavan. And now he is going to a place which is completely in a mode of ignorance. Of course, he is not affected by it. Because great souls, because they are in pure goodness, they are not affected by the different modes. But Prabhupada had a power to uplift those who were in the mode of passion and ignorance and bring them to the higher modes. That was the power of his purity. So practically we cannot even think of the condition which Prabhupada stayed during that time in the Bowery. In fact, Prabhupada also lived in the Bowery, sitting under small lights, lamps, every night. That was the same case with all the derelicts. They were also sleeping and sitting under hundreds of naked lights every night. Not only that, in fact, Prabhupada also had no fixed income, just like those derelicts who were walking on the streets. Also, Prabhupada didn't have any fixed place of residence, just like those derelicts. But there was a vast gulf of difference. Difference was in their consciousness. They were completely, those derelicts were completely in the mode of passion and ignorance, and here is a person, although living apparently in those same conditions, but he is actually not colored. His consciousness was not colored. You know, as Narasimha Tirthapu so nicely explained yesterday, you know, that this mode colors one's consciousness. So Prabhupada's consciousness was not colored by these modes of passion and ignorance, was not affected. And because his consciousness was not affected, he could actually, you know, lift up people who were actually in those modes. And when Prabhupada went to West, it was a revolutionary age for the American youth. No, drug culture and counterculture was very much prominent. What do you mean by counterculture? Whatever is the norm, you just go against it. That is counterculture. And using drugs was like, no, drinking tea. No, everyday Indians are used to drinking teas. They just can't, no, live without it. Similarly, for this American youths, taking drugs was like, you know, taking teas, taking or drinking teas every day. So common. They just can't give it up. It's a part of their life. It's in their system. They just can't give it up. But here is a person who is going in that era and challenging the American youth to give up those bad habits and elevate themselves. In fact, I would like to just read one paragraph from this book called Prabhupada Lilamrit by His Holiness Satsrudas Goswami Maharaj, where he writes, please listen very carefully. He writes that Prabhupada lived amid a drug culture in a neighborhood where the young people were almost desperately attempting to alter their consciousness, whether by drugs or by some other means, whatever was available. But Prabhupada strongly assured them that they could easily achieve the higher consciousness they desired by chanting Hare Krishna. So when Prabhupada here says that yes, a person in the mode of passion and ignorance can be elevated, there is an option, there is a solution, there is an alternative. Prabhupada gave them a very positive alternative. Chant Hare Krishna and transcend the three modes. And not only that, it's said that was the way of life. People just lived like that. The local shops carried lot of drugs like marijuana, LSD, cocaine, hard drugs like heroin, barbiturates. No, that's like different soaps we get in market. Lux and Mysore sandal and whatnot. No? That was like the drugs which was commonly available. And Prabhupada had to really spend maximum of his time not preaching the pure philosophy of Bhagavad, but trying to convince them that how these drugs will actually spoil their lives. And these people were thinking that this taking these drugs will actually elevate their consciousness and will actually free them from all the anxieties. That was the misconception. Taking something material to be spiritual. But Prabhupada said that actually you don't have to take all these things. It's only for time being that you may experience something, but it's actually hallucination. It's actually all illusion. So much of Prabhupada's valuable time went in convincing. But those who actually understood, they were the ones who took Prabhupada's message very seriously. And they came out from those deep, dark well of passion and ignorance. In fact, I'll just read one sentence which Prabhupada's disciple writes. He says that LSD was like a spiritual drugs of the times, and Swamiji was the only one who dared to speak out against it, saying it was nonsense. And he says that I think that was the first battle that he had to conquer in trying to promote his movement on the Lower East Side. And even those who came regularly to the storefront thought that LSD was good. So those who were those people who were actually addicted to those drugs thought that all those drugs will actually help them to elevate. But Prabhupada so convincingly and so boldly challenged their philosophy and brought them from the lower modes and gave them a chance to practice something higher. In fact, there is one pastime, one very practical example which demonstrates Prabhupada's compassion. He was so much concerned. And there was one girl who came to Prabhupada. And she thought, everything is happening because of me. She was so much taking these drugs that she was thinking that actually I am the creator of this whole entire universe. She started thinking like that. And everything I see is my own creation. And I am the supreme. Everything is mine. And she was so much under the influence of this LSD that she was overwhelmed by this impression that I am God. But then she just happened to visit one day, to the kirtans of Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was chanting on the streets with all of his disciples at the Tompkins Square Park. And after that kirtan, she was so much influenced that she happened to just follow all the followers of Prabhupada, and she happened to reach 26 Second Avenue. And then finally she met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked her, did you like this kirtan? And she, because she was under that influence of those drugs, and she was thinking, I am supreme. So she's saying, yes, I liked it very much. And then Prabhupada said, so you can come every day to attend this program. Maybe you stay very close. How close you stay? Prabhupada asked this question. And because she thought that she is God, so she said in a very mystical manner, yes, I stay very close. Just like Paramatma stays so close within one's heart, she said, I stay very close. Prabhupada, knowing the heart of that young girl, having compassion upon that girl, Prabhupada just said, you just come every day. You don't need to give up anything. Just come and chant Hare Krishna. And she started coming, and she was so much influenced by this Mahamantra that she in future she gave up all the bad habits, that's for sure. Not only that, but she turned to become one of the great artists in the history of ISKCON. So many paintings we see in BBT, those paintings are painted by her. Dovetailing one's service at dovetailing that attitude of service for the Supreme Lord helps one to elevate from the lower modes. So it was actually Prabhupada who gave us an opportunity to elevate, to rise high from these lower modes of passion and ignorance. So when Prabhupada is here saying that yes, there is an opportunity for all of us. Maybe we may be in a mode of ignorance, maybe we may be in a mode of passion. But that's fine. By chanting this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These names of God, because they are all pure, they are not subjected by these three modes. Therefore, they also help us to elevate from this practically lower modes. So I'll end here. If anybody has any questions or comments, I would like to answer that. Or we can practically experiment the effect of chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.